I admit this seems a little bit foreign to me. Bishop Barron has been stealing my thunder for the past 6 weeks, so hopefully I'm not a little bit rusty. But, you know, the thing about it is that Father Jess has been forming and training all of you to listen to 25-minute homilies, so I'm all good to go. You know, when was the last time you ever spoke to others about something amazing, incredible, and life-changing that God has done for you? I know right now the world and our society and some even in our church seem a bit lost. And perhaps even in our own personal lives, we might go through moments of depression, marriage or family issues, addictions, anxieties, stresses or illnesses that can be very painful or seem utterly pointless or senseless. And it's much easier, I think, for all of us to spot everything that is going on that's wrong in our lives rather than going on what's good. But as Catholics, we can't live our life that way. In fact, St. Peter says and exhorts us, always be ready to have an explanation to anyone for the reason for your hope. And this hope isn't just mere optimism or mere wishful thinking. No, a hopeful Catholic is one who knows that hope is faith extended into the future. Hope is not a wish, but a deep conviction that our future and our lives anything and everything to him. The message of hope is so clear in the first reading today when the Lord says, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes to save you. And then he goes on to say that the eyes of the blind will be open and the ears of the deaf will be cleared. The lame won't just walk, but they will leap. The tongue of the mute won't just speak, but they will sing. But how many of us have that vision to see these things, or our ears to hear these good things, and use our mouths to proclaim the good works that God is doing in our lives? If someone were to ask you to name one of the best classical composers of all time, who would you name? Perhaps somebody by the name of Beethoven would be on your list, right? He lived in the 18th or 19th century and was one of the most beloved composers of all time. And Beethoven once said, ever since my childhood, I've been inclined to accomplish great things. Seeing these great things in union with God and to serve him and humanity through his music, Beethoven reflected in his later part of his life saying, Almighty God, you for humanity and a desire to do good. The interesting thing about Beethoven's life, however, was that he actually started to lose the majority of his hearing at the age of 28, and by the end of his life, he was completely deaf. Many of his musical works were composed when he was partially or completely deaf. His life was an utter paradox because as he lost his hearing, though, he never allowed that to say, God, why the heck are you doing this to me? Why is this darkness coming up? He didn't allow that discouragement to sink in. Instead, even though he became deaf to the external sounds of the world, his heart actually became attuned and more open to hear the voice of God, allowing him to compose some of his greatest compositions, such as the Ninth Symphony, which is all dedicated to God. But you see, most of us, we don't have physical impairment, and I would venture to guess that many of us, though, do have a speech and hearing impediment when it comes to our faith. We may find ourselves not physically deaf and mute like the man in the gospel today, but spiritually missing to our faith. Jesus came to save us from our sins, and sometimes we become so used to sin that we either take it as normal or redefine it in order to turn it into something virtuous, something like, yes, go, rah, rah, let's go ahead and promote this because it's so good. But in the process, what happens is we become deaf and blind to God's voice and to his truth. Selective hearing leads us to tune out Jesus's and the church's less appealing teachings. Like a teenager who hears his mom calling all the time. Trust me, I've done that before. It's like, nah, I don't want to really hear that part of it. But if we selectively hear, then what we do is we selectively begin to witness. And a speech impediment also begins to sink into our mouths. For when we are not able or simply do not wish to hear what God says, we won't be able to effectively speak of him either. And then fear creeps in, and then we say, well, what are people going to think of me if I say this? And so we don't listen or speak out. Now, it can become all too easy to speak out about apparent evil, right? Such as right now the physical abuse that's happening in the church. We all know it's evil, so it's easy to come up and say, let's talk about it. Let's go ahead and condemn this because, you know, it's so easy. But what about also speaking about the spiritual abuse when bishops, when priests or laity insist on things that Jesus and the church do not actually teach? What about such issues regarding all life, especially the most vulnerable in the womb? What about the beautiful gift of our sexuality that is meant to be given, that the pill and the contraception are wreaking havoc upon relationships because it ends up leading and contributing to a culture of objectification, of using the other person for my desires rather than to say I'm willing to give out of love? What about prayer in public or in schools of our understanding the true presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist? Why are we silent about the spiritual abuses when we encounter those who try to teach us something other than what the church and Jesus says? Just as we can't remain silent in the face of evil, we also can't be silent about the good things that are happening in our lives too. St. Catherine of Siena once said, we've had enough exhortations to be silent. Cry out with hundreds of thousands of different tongues. And I see, she said, that the world is rotten because of silence. And these temptations can reach all people. So I'm not standing here saying, you know what? I'm beyond this too, as a priest. I just recently read an article by Father Jonathan Slavinska. And what his words he said in his article also resonated with me because, to be honest, in this past few weeks, I've fallen into them as well. He said, this week, I've been walking around with a heavy heart. I've been completely angry and frustrated as the result of the Pennsylvania abuse reports and the McCarrick situation. And my continual prayer has been for the victims. I want to make clear that priests are not the victims here, but those who have been abused by those entrusted who are supposed to care for them. But however, as each new story continues, he said, my heart is torn apart even more. And as I walked around, I wondered how many people who glance at my collar will wonder, is this one of those priests too? As I moved from the rectory to the church, from the halls of the nursing homes and the hospitals, as I passed out school supplies to the numerous neighborhood youth, I've had this one thought. Take your collar off. And so he said, this morning, I woke up and I didn't want to put my collar on. I was ashamed. I was tired. I was angry. I didn't want to be tainted with a stained brush, but I did. And he walked by a woman standing outside her room. And as he continued to the elevator, she came up running behind him and she asked if he was a Catholic priest. At that point, he decided to turn around and he said, I was ready to take the hit. I was ready to take the abuse or whatever words may come out of her mouth. But as he turned and he said, yes, I am a Catholic priest, she asked with tears in her eyes if I would anoint her brother who is dying with cancer. Father Jonathan reflected that no matter what he had thought about the caller recently, the woman in the hospital saw it as a sign of hope and of the presence of Jesus Christ. And he said, if I decided not to wear it, her brother would not have received the sacrament he needed, and her entire family might not have experienced comfort. This doesn't just go for us priests. It goes for all of us. You may not wear something distinctive, but we have to wear our faith on our sleeves so that we are recognizable Catholics in the darkness and midst of the world. So evangelize, spread the good news, speak out against evil, but also tell of the healings that God has done. Today, think about an amazing, incredible, possibly healing moment that God has done in your life, and don't keep this to yourself. Don't be mute about it, speaking loudly right now, so that others may know, even in the midst of this darkness, God is still present, and that He comes to save us, and that He does all things well.